Why do we struggle? Peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. I give it not as the world gives it peace. Let not your heart be disquieted or timid. John 14:27. Jesus talks about the heart, knowing very well that there is something deeper than the mind. He knew what the mind was. He knew that the mind was memory, experience, what people hear, what people read, and the ideas of others which we accept. So the mind is filled with all these things. But Jesus saw something deeper. He said, the heart. Now, the heart is something which we have to realize more than the mind. When you're talking about the heart, there is something that the mind can make up. The mind may try to make it up, but it can't. There is something that is unexplainable, something that the mind can't put into words or into an idea. What is in the heart? And that's the secret of it. It's not an image, it's not a belief, not an idea, it's not something that one heard from another. It isn't an imitation. It is beyond that. It is something that is beyond the mind. That's why it says, let not your heart be disquieted or timid. When we begin to discern the activities of the mind, that is the first rung on the ladder of overcoming all your difficulties. It is the first rung of the ladder that begins to reduce the struggle. When we begin to discern the activities of the mind, we find that there is a continuous struggle with the opposites, which mean only one thing, frustration. Look into your mind, you will see two things all the time. If you're struggling with ill health, there is an idea of health. You struggle with ill health. There's the two opposites, is there not? If you imagine that you're a failure, you're struggling with this failure, but you have an idea of success. You struggle with evil, having an idea of good. The mind is always in opposite. The mind does not exist except in opposite. But if you understand that the mind is that way, you will see how you are confused between one and the other. Now the idea that's dominant in the mind is the idea that will manifest. And it only requires you to look into your mind for a little while and see how it's made up. When you see how the mind is made up, you begin to understand yourself. And only when you understand this yourself, there's wisdom come. With most, there is a continuous struggle through reactions to conditions and circumstances that surround us. This is common in all shades of life. In my experience throughout the whole world, no matter whether the person is poor, rich, whether high or low, we have all got their struggles, because they're all living in the mind. A person will have plenty of money, thousands of pounds, but still their mind is misery. Therefore, they are poor in mind, yet they may be rich in things. But all the time they live a miserable life, while they are surrounded in riches. I knew several cases. I knew a woman once. She'd be about 60 years of age. She lived in a big house with a big wall round about it. She had a number of cats and dogs. She never threw herself out at all. She always wore a hat. Even when she went to bed, she wore her hat. In fact, I was called in when she was sick. She sent for me, and when she was in bed, she had her hat on. Cats were all running around the place. It was filthy, dusty, about an inch of grease and muck on the floor. Cats' mess, dogs' mess, all over the place. It never been cleaned. And this woman lived in this hideous way. I talked to her about the whole business, and I knew perfectly well that she was struggling between two things. She was a very wealthy woman, and she lived in rags. The house she lived in was her own, naturally, but it had never been cleaned, and nobody came into it to clean it. She wouldn't stand a halfpenny on anybody else. Therefore, she lived in rags. She used to go around about the place into the dustbin with a bag and pick all the rubbish she could to feed her dogs and her cats. She became very unhealthy. I went to see her. So I talked to her about all this sort of thing. I said, now, you could live a very happy life. You're struggling with ill health. You are also struggling with your wealth. You don't want to spend a halfpenny, and yet you are dying and you're going to leave it to somebody else. Now, what they will do with your money, I tell you what they will do with it. They will squander it, they will spend it, and they will say, what a damn fool you were. She began to think for a little while. I don't know how long. Anyway, I must have roused her out of her curiosity. Because in a very short time, I saw some quite lively things taking place in the house. The walls became clean. The house, there was people around about, and there was repairs going on. And the next time I saw her, and I asked her, what is it now that changed your belief, that changed you from what you were to what you are now? She said, when you told me about others squandering my money, I decided to squander it myself. So there is the whole story. And it is when we get into the mind and see what we are doing, that is the thing. Now, most of our troubles are brought about in that way. Our minds are caught up in them. We do not see the duplicity of the mind. We do not see that the mind is double. We do not see that the mind has two aspects, the having and the not having, the good and the evil, the health, the ill health, the success and the failure. Now, you see, that's all in the mind, but that's not creative. Immediately, you are caught up in these opposites. You are no longer creative. Now, what is creativeness? That is the point. Creativeness is an awareness of your living. Not an awareness of anything else, but an awareness of that livingness that is because it is life. It is God. Now, people are praying. I see placards all the time. The world is going to pray. And what are they going to pray about? Who are they going to pray to? I'll show you the stupidity of the whole thing. What the inner is, the outer will be. And if you or anyone else does not transform the inner, the outer will remain, no matter how much you pray. Don't think that you are not responsible for things that are happening in the other part of the world. The very cause of these effects are rooted in yourselves. Now, how are you going to find out those things? Is it not by discerning what is in your mind, so that transformation takes place of its own self? When you see those things as they are, they drop from you. These confusions and conflicts seem to dissolve away into nothingness. And there comes an awareness of something that is not of the mind. It is of the heart. That which Jesus spoke about, something that was not of the mind, but of the heart, which you could not explain, which you could not describe, the indescribable. But immediately you began to see the cause of the outer, because the outer is the reflection of the inner. And no matter how long you pray, no matter how urgent you pray, if you're still caught up in your conditioning, you'll be expressing that conditioning even if you pray till doomsday. So the world has not been any better through prayer, because everybody is praying all over the world, but the world has not improved through prayer. Why? Because the inner that has not been changed, has not been transformed, is expressing itself in the outer, and the outer remains. Therefore, there is no change. The same thing applies to the individual. Now the individual looks upon the individual as separate from one another, and you're all caught up in your own troubles. Whatever your troubles may be, you're caught up in them. But everybody else, if you look around, is also caught up in their troubles. And every person is similar. But the individual says, I don't care about the world, I'm only interested in myself. The world isn't matter to me. But the world is you. The fact is that you made the world what it is. We make the world what it is. Therefore, the self has got to actually realize that the self is in itself and no longer separate from the rest, and is responsible for what is happening in the other side of the world, because the roots of the cause of the effects we see in other parts of the world is deeply rooted in ourselves. Now, how are you going to pray to eliminate those things? That's the thing, that's the point. Are you going to keep on praying while you're conditioned and while the inner is not transformed? It is impossible, utterly impossible. You can have all the religions of the world, you can have all the so-called evangelistic meetings in the world. You will see the people with their emotions stirred up. But is their conditioning changed? They are the same person after their emotions die down, and even worse than they were before. I have seen and experienced it many times in meetings all over the world where I have these emotional outbursts. And I have seen people so-called healed by them for a moment. In an hour or so, the same trouble was back again. They suffered in the same way. Why? Because the outer is the same as the inner. The inner was not changed. Therefore, the outer remains. The emotion does not change the individual. The emotion does not transform the individual. Only discernment of what is in the mind, what is causing the trouble, and that transformation causes an inner transformation so that the outer reveals it. Why? Because the body is mind material. You cannot separate the body from the mind. The body is mind materialized. In my experiences throughout the world, in healing people, I have always seen these conditions, and I have seen it clearly, that the outer is the result of the inner, because body is mind materialized. And according to the inner, so will the outer always be in the individual and in the world. Now, how are we then to arrive at a realization of this great truth? Is to understand the self. Now, you are afraid of the self. I know you are afraid of the self. I know you are afraid to look at the self. Because you think the self is a bundle of this and that, good and evil. Of course it is. But when you are able to look at the self and see the self what it is, without judgment, without condemning, without criticism, without fear, without any emotion whatsoever, you will discern what it is. But if you fear it, what are you feeling? The self. That's all you can fear. You only fear your own thoughts. You only fear your own ideas. You only fear your own creations. You don't fear the life that is the livingness in yourself. When you clearly see this, and you're not caught up in your discernment through emotional reaction. Because if you have reaction to your own thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your ideas, your images, your beliefs, you're immediately caught up in them. Reaction is your trap. And unless you recognize what reaction is, you will still be caught up in that trap. I've often said to you, have I not, that you must look upon these things in the mind as before your consciousness. Look upon them as you look upon a screen, impersonally. Because unless you are impersonal to them, you will still be conditioned by them. That is your reaction. Action is not conditioning. Transformation is action. Reaction is reacting to your own ideas, images and beliefs, a fear, an emotion. But action is transformation within the individual as you listen to me. Not from an intellectual point of view, but as you listen to me, there is a transformation taking place within you. There is this action that is not reaction, but an action of transformation where the inner is beginning to change entirely so that the outer becomes what the inner is. We have an idea of health, we struggle with ill health, we have an idea of plenty, we struggle with lack. We hold the idea of success, while we struggle with failure. We hold the idea of freedom, while we struggle with our conditioning. We hold an idea of good, while we struggle with evil. While the conflict goes on, we create a greater burden. When one struggle is over, another begins. Now, look at your mind. Think. You had one struggle. You're continually struggling with this thing. Immediately you understand that it begins to pass away, but you begin to struggle with something else. There's always a struggle. Why is there always a struggle? Because you do not discern the activities of the mind. You do not see what is happening in the mind. Therefore, you are caught up in your struggle. When one struggle is over, another begins. Our minds are filled with the effects of our struggle, and therefore are incapable of true direction. How can this turmoil come to an end? That is the question. But the answer does not come, because we are caught up in the struggle. Now let us reason this out and see how this struggle comes to an end. I'm giving you this lecture for yourselves tonight. I'm giving it to you the same as I did the other night. I'm talking to you heart-to-heart talk, which I find is better for you than just reading a lecture. And I feel that when I'm talking to you this way, there is a change taking place. The mind becomes free from those things that bind. When we rebel against anything, we struggle. You rebel against it. But rebelling against it does not understand it. Immediately beginning to see and understand that thing, rebelling ceases. So does struggle. When you begin to understand anything, struggle ceases. Rebelling ceases. There is no longer any reaction. Reaction passes away. Reaction is of the mind. Always has been and always will be. Reaction belongs to the mind that is in confusion. You react always to protect your conditioning. You react to protect what you think is true. You try to defend the truth. But what truth do you try to defend? Your own conditioning, of course. You cannot defend the truth because you don't know what the truth is. Therefore, you never quarrel about the truth. You only quarrel about your beliefs, your ideas, your images, what you think is true. That is what you quarrel about. That's what you fight for. Your nationality, your political beliefs, your religious beliefs, your ideologies. If you have a leaning towards the left or a leaning towards the right, if you look into your mind, you will see that you have an ideology. And you are separating yourself from your brother because you do not come together and reconcile your ideas and see what your ideas are. What do? You're conditioned by your belief and your ideology or your ideas. And so is the other person conditioned by his. Therefore, you struggle. And in the struggle, you cannot come to terms. And when you cannot come to terms, you butcher each other. Now, don't you think when you see the whole thing clearly, it's stupid? Why? Because we will not discern the mind clearly and what ideas are, what beliefs are, what our mind is made up of, how it is caught up in the opposites, how it creates its own troubles, and the outer is what the inner is. When the inner is in confusion, so is the outer, the expression of that confusion. We react to our conditioning because we are conditioned. Nothing external to our soul. So the trouble lies within ourselves. We have lost our God-given power of dominion. On the other hand, if we understood the cause, we would not rebel, but work from within to remove the cause. The cause can only be removed when we understand ourselves. our cravings, our desires, our antagonisms, our greeds, our jealousies, and how they come about. Now the presence is always present, and there is no such thing as lack, no evil, no ill health, no hate, and the like in the presence. And the proper reality, and all there is. Now you can't think in the present. It's impossible for you to think in the present. Your mind must be still, actually still, before the present is realized. Because thinking is always relative to the past or the future. And you're always thinking about the past or the future, but you can't think of the present because you don't know what it is. It is only your experience that you know, your memories that you know, your hopes and your beliefs that is in the mind, but the present you do not know. Therefore, you can't think about it. So therefore, in the present, there must be entire mental silence. A silence that is not imposed or compelled, but a silence that comes into the mind. When the mind is discerned, when all the things in the mind is understood, free from emotion, free from feelings of any kind, free from judgment, free from condemnation, free from criticism. As the mind becomes free from all these things, there is a silence that comes of its own. And in that silence is the presence realized. There is the expression of the Almighty. At that moment, if it was caught completely, the body and mind is transformed, because everything in the mind is understood. There is no longer any confusion in the mind. It is all understood. There is no longer any opposites in the mind that causes confusion. It is understood. And the mind becomes free, and the body reflects that freedom of the intelligence that made the body, that created the body and the brain and the nervous system through which you can think and act through. That is the Christ. That is the living Christ. The livingness in you, that is a reality. That is, I am the life. It's not an idea, but a livingness that is known only in the moment. It is not an idea, because you don't know what it is. You can't put it into an idea. You can't put it into an image. The mind can't describe it. But at that moment, there is the temple of the living God. And in that temple is the living God. And there is nothing to mar it, nothing to attack. It has been cleansed, as the prophet says, and make way for the living God. You may think it's strange. You may think this teaching is strange because you never heard it before. But I tell you that it is the only teaching that will ever be, because it's the true teachings of the Christ that revealed the Father in himself. He could not reveal the Father through his mind. He couldn't reveal the Father through his ideas or his images. But he could only reveal the Father in that action of the Father. The Father within me is performing his own deeds. I, of mine own self, am nothing. I understand myself. I understand that what the self is, what it stands for, its cravings, desires, and so forth, and all these things that the mind craves for. Because It is limited in nature and does not know the truth. In the mind there is truth and error together. They commingle together, and you do not know what is true and what is not true. But when the mind is freed, as Jesus freed his mind, and I know how he did it. All masters know how the mind must be cleared of all its opposites, of these things that are causing all the confusion. And because he was a natural man in every way, because the power that Jesus had was a natural power, it was the power of nature, God's power. But he was supposed to be a natural person, a superhuman being. Therefore, people were afraid of him. And because of their fear, because of their conditioning, they killed him. Now look into your own mind, you will see what the conditioning of the mind of the people were at that time. Think of it. Look into your own mind and you will see your own conditioning. You see your hate, your jealousy, your antagonism, your envy. If you're brought up in a certain way, you have got cherished beliefs, something that you want part of, that you will fight for to the death. But it's all in the mind, it's not true. Jesus saw that clearly. He saw there was only one living truth, the livingness that was in himself, the livingness that was in every other being. That was the final denominator. And he dissolved everything to that denominator. And he saw clearly and distinctly in his own healing work there was nothing to be healed because it was in himself the truth and the truth was made known. If the mind is cleansed of all conditioning, there is a consciousness of the truth of being. Not of becoming, but a truth of being now. And in that being is everything. All power in heaven and on earth is in that being. Because being is immediately present. Not in the past or the future. But it's the livingness of God. It's the Father, whoever remaineth within me, is performing his own deeds. There is no interruption to the power of God. There is nothing that is preventing the expression of the Almighty. The Absolute has found freedom through the form he created himself for that specific purpose. The problem, then, is ourselves. But how can we dispense with this self that is the cause of all this misery? We can only do this by seeing how false the self is with all its makeup, which is illusionary. It is the illusion of the self that must be dissolved through deep discernment of what it is. There cannot be a separate self, once this is understood, because when the self is free, and in that freedom there is a complete wholeness, where there is no division, and you find that your own self is in every other self. If yourself, you are freed from all confusion, from belief that disease is an actuality, that disease is a permanent thing and a reality. When you see that it has no real existence on its own, when the self sees this completely, not the outer self, But I'm talking about that real self. But the expression of truth, when the real self sees then clearly that these things have no existence apart from the self, the truth is known in every other self. Because every other self is yourself. You do not yet understand it. Perhaps you're trying to make an image of it. But if you try to make an image of it, you will lose what I am saying to you. It can only come when the mind is clear of an idea of what it is, so that that livingness itself can become a reality to you. And as a reality to you, it becomes a reality in every other living soul. Jesus performed his miracles in that way. And I tell you this, that that is the healing power of the Christ. So when this is accomplished, the self dissolves away and we learn the art of pure action from within. He sets in action ways and means without struggle, knowing that there is no opposing force, no other power. Therefore the law fulfills itself according to our understanding. So pure action alone brings results without struggle, while reaction to things external is always a degree of misunderstanding. When we discover that we are always fighting reactions without understanding what they are, we'll begin to wake up to what we are doing. Otherwise, we hold on to them. This happens whether they are pleasurable or painful. It makes no difference. Pleasure and pain are the same thing. They belong to the mind. Pleasure and pain is reaction to something. And a reaction is not that joy that comes with reality. It is not an eternal value. The joy that is eternal value only comes to that which is eternal, and not that which a reaction in the mind to something that you get pleasure from or pain from. The joy that is real comes from the complete realization of your own livingness, devoid of anything that interferes with the expression of that livingness. When the mind becomes known to you, when the self is understood, and the self being understood, it dissolves away into nothingness where it belongs, because it has no other belonging anywhere except the nothingness of the self. I of mine own self am nothing. The Spirit of the Father within me that does those things. So generally we accept the pleasant and deny the unpleasant, but there is very little difference between the one who is seeking pleasure through an idea of God and the one who is seeking pleasure through a sensate desires. Are they not both seeking pleasure through different planes of consciousness? One is seeking gratification through an idea, and the other seeks gratification through the sensate things. So both are doing the same thing. They are living in the mind. The idea of God brings pleasure, but does the idea of God change the conditioning of that person? Is the conditioning of that person changed because they have an idea of God in their mind? No, their conditioning becomes more and more violent. Look back just a few centuries ago. We had the Spanish Inquisition. People had an idea of God, but they burnt their brothers and sisters at the stake. We saw them suffering the most awful death. We have an idea of God, or we generally have an idea of God, but if we go out and kill our brother men in the thousands, we have mass murder. We still have an idea of God, and we pray to this God. What God do we pray to? Don't you see that unless the mind of man understands himself, that unless you understand how the mind is made up, you'll still be conditioned by your idea, and you'll still become more violent with your idea, because your idea becomes more important than life. The idea in your mind becomes more important than life itself. So your idea becomes more important than God. But if you look into your mind, you will see that your idea of God is not God. Or a belief in God makes you no better. It even makes you worse, because you have a different belief. It's your God and my God. Your ceremonies and my ceremonies are superior. So therefore you think that you are superior. Your nationality and my nationality, superior. So we divide ourselves into nationalities, into groups, into religions, and before we know where we are, we're caught up in confusion. And because we cannot reconcile our ideas, we begin to butcher each other. We still have a belief in God. It's the most stupid thing I have ever heard, and any sensible person who can think can see how stupid it is, because the world is caught up in it. They cannot think because they are imitators. You listen to a speech, you wave your flag, you shout hooray, because you don't think. You're caught up in your emotions. You listen to a band, you see soldiers walking down the street, you become emotional. You say, I'll join up now. Little do you know what you're doing, because you're going to the very thing to murder your brother man. Here we have the whole thing completely, clearly, and distinctly seen because of our ideals. As a soldier myself, I know all about it. But I, mostly, never took life. I always saved life. I was decorated for saving life several times. Mentioned in this battle several times. I can remember when I went out to no man's land to bring in the wounded on my own, because I knew that we were wounded there. And yet, when I went out into no man's land and carried a Red Cross flag, I was shot at. Wounded four times while I was doing it. That is the tremendous, terrible thing. Man caught up in his conditioning, in his ideals. Well, I never made any difference between the foe and our own people when it came to helping. We became just the same. But I have seen different things done. I've seen young fellows there, the enemy, left bleeding to death, yet they could be saved. I've seen our own people the same way, being left by the enemy to bleed to death while they could be saved. But I never did that. If it was possible to save life, it was no difference who came first. It was first, there and then, before my hands, before my eyes. That was the whole story. And I have never gone back since. I have never changed, not one iota. All people are the same to me. And the sooner the world wakes up to the fact that God alone lives, He is the only living being there is. And when I see you, as Jesus said clearly, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father, because there can be nothing else. God being infinite in nature, There can be no other expression but these. Then the false exists only in the mind of man, has no existence on its own, it is not the reality. I have seen that clearly. Evil is a misdirection of man's mind. The evil we see is the misdirection of man's mind in the world. But the evil is not separated from the self. It is in the self. That's why Jesus said the devil is the father of lies. He's a liar from the beginning. So is the self. The so-called spiritual person says, I don't like theaters, cinemas, physical adornment, etc., and follows his ideal. Denies the worldly pleasures and follows his ideal that gives him pleasure. But this so-called spiritual man is seeking pleasure, as so does the man who seeks pleasure through sensate things. Both are stupid because they are the cause of struggle and misery, not only within but without. While one pursues a materialistic struggle, the other follows his belief, a struggle between good and evil and other beliefs. To him, terms become more important. Your God, my God, your ceremonies, my ceremonies. I am a Christian, you are a Jew, I am a Mohammedan, you are an infidel. Just as one creates havoc in the world, so does the other. In fact, the so-called spiritual man does more harm. It is easier to deal with the sensate desire in which one is pursuing pleasure than one is pursuing the pleasure through an ideation. The latter is much more dangerous because he's pursuing his pleasure through his ideas that divide man more than things. So the whole world is divided by ideas and ideals. And when I have my ideal, then I dwell in the illusion of separation. It is only when we reach the source of our creativeness that we can sleep at night undisturbed by our successes or failures, our pleasures or pains, by our differences, etc. We will sleep peacefully, understanding the law of creation, and while we sleep, the Lord is preparing the way. The higher intelligence will be active in our affairs. Man sows the seed. God then waters the ground, sprinkles it with the sun and the rain, and God does the growing when man sleeps. Whatever I ask the Father will produce, providing I know that I do not live in opposites. I understand my mind of having and not having. I understand the opposites of my mind. Then when I ask, I receive. As Jesus said, when you pray, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. And I've done the same with this lesson that I did the last week's lesson. The time has come now to 9 o'clock. It seems like a few minutes since we began. Now read from John 18:37. So you are a king, said Pilate. You. Certainly, says Jesus, I am a king. This is why I was born. This is why I come into the world, to be a testimony to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Benediction. O Son of Man, awaken to the presence that is eternal and ever-present within you. Then, O Son of Man, there will be no more struggle, for love shall fill your heart. Son of Man, you are the Son of God when you love your neighbor as yourself. The divine design within is waiting to express itself. When you see the forms you alone have created, then you will be the Son of God, O Son of Man.